Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Kingdoms Queens podcast. We are officially 30 days away from NFL kickoff, and that is super exciting. That means we're like a month away from the home opener game, so I can't believe that. Time is flying. I feel like when I like started the 100-day countdown, I'm like, feels like forever away. Now it's just a month, and I'm like, okay, that's like actually not much time at all, so... that's crazy, but there's a lot to talk about. We're headed into our first week of preseason games, which is super exciting for the entire league because there's just a lot going on and a lot to talk about. But I'm your host, Lexi.
Hey, y'all. I'm Jody. Time is flying. That's very, very, very true. Very true. All right, so let's get into it. Around the NFL, there is a whole lot happening right now, and... Jesus Christ. It feels like football season. Let's just say that.
Yes.
It feels like football season. There's so much going on. I feel like the most drama that has been happening that I feel like has been talked about every 5 to 3 minutes is Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
I cannot deal with another Brandon Ayuk tweet or post or anything. I can't. I don't want to. I can't deal with this. So it's a lot happening with the 49ers right now. Of course, you know, coming off of a Super Bowl loss, trying to get back to the Super Bowl next year. They're a very stacked team. George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, maybe.
Debo Samuel, CMC.
Fred Warner, Brock Purdy. A lot of great people on
Nick
this team.
Nick Bosa,
right?
Yeah.
talk about a team that is loaded.
Tarvarius Ward, former Chief, who's now a Niner.
Yeah, it's a lot going on there. So,
yeah.
Basically, long story short, Brandon Ayuk wants to be a number one wide receiver. Number one wide receiver is not going to happen on the 49ers because there's no way they're going to pay that man that, especially when you have that many weapons. Brandon Ayuk is wanting out. He is requesting a trade, and it sounds like the Niners finally gave him access today to finally start talking to other teams to negotiate some type of a contract. So, I mean, when your team finally lets you have that access, it's kind of like, well, all right, well, yeah, go ahead and do it. And he's probably not coming back. So it sounds like there's a lot of commotion happening right now between him and the Steelers, him and the Patriots, him and the Browns. It's like ongoing. Like, God bless. Who knows what's happening? A lot of people think that he's going to be a Steeler. A lot of people think that he's going to the Patriots. I don't think he's going to the Browns because of what they're building over there. But yeah, it's a lot of
fodder, right? Like a lot of talk, a lot of whatever. And so Brandon Ayuk, he's a very talented receiver. But the 49ers run a different kind of system. And they have Debo Samuel, who their entire system kind of revolves around at the moment.
Correct.
And they paid him, I think it was just last offseason, right?
Or correct. The one before he got paid that? Last offseason.
Right. Yeah. So, like, they just paid him.
Which they should have, because he's
insane. Of course. Yeah. He's fantastic. Yeah. And yeah. If you look at their record when he's hurt versus when correct. He's healthy, like, they win so many more games when Debo Samuel's healthy. So,
correct.
Makes sense to pay him. Brandon Ayuk is such a talent, and they were really blessed to find him in the draft where they did,
yeah.
And whatever. But he is wanting his payday, and I understand it. I think the money he wants is up there with, like, the top five receivers.
It's
I don't
a
know.
Little asinine, the dollar amount that yeah. he's looking for.
I don't know that you put him up in the top five receivers. I'd put him top 10. In my opinion, but
oh, I agree. I think he's top 10 for sure.
Yeah, but it's tough. I mean, this business is tough. The NFL is tough, and the 49ers have been really tough on him. So I think I could see him going to the Patriots, but that is when you
I agree.
That's when you want a payday and you're not looking to win games.
I fully agree. So. I think that if he's going to go anywhere, he should go to the Patriots, since it seems like they're trying to rebuild and figure out who they are. They have Drake May there, and they have a very good possibility of him and Brandon Ayuk having a great connection, right? I feel like because they're not paying anybody right now, they could really give him that money that he wants, and they're probably still not going to go to the playoffs. But, you know, I think it's a good start of rebuilding that franchise. again, the Browns definitely don't see him going there, just kind of based off of everything that they're doing there. I see him. You know, the Steelers would be interesting because who are they paying right now?
Not many people.
They're definitely not paying for their quarterback, right? They're not paying for their quarterback.
They got Justin Fields. I'm scrolling through our comments. Russell Wilson. Here.
Yeah, tons of comments. Sorry, y'all.
No, we appreciate you guys interacting. Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, they got them both on really good discounts. Like,
yeah, I mean,
the thing that I love, and this is what I love about the AFC West, is Russell Wilson stole his money from the Broncos, ran with it to the Steelers for $1 million contract for the year. And he's not even like playing in preseason. In training camp. He hasn't been doing much. I think he has some kind of leg injury, something like that, right? And so Justin Fields has been getting most of the attention in Steelers camp. So all the Steelers fans that I've heard are like, we're all about Justin Fields, not so much about Russell Wilson, when it was kind of the different expectation a few months ago. So,
you know, I know we're not going to stay on this topic long because there's a lot that happened in the NFL, but I actually was just having this debate with a couple of friends on Sunday about the Steelers and like, what route are they going to go quarterback? Like who do you lean with? Do you lean with Justin Fields or do you lean with Russell Wilson? And so my answer was this, because they asked me and I'm like, what you asking me for? No, I'm kidding. They asked me and I was like, well, here's the two things that I take away. I think Russell Wilson is a veteran who can definitely understand defenses. He can understand offenses. He's going to understand the playbook very well. He's going to be able to build relationships with the guys on the team, blah, blah, blah. Justin Fields is way more mobile. So where he might not be able to catch on to the playbook as quickly and be able to identify different defenses of things of that nature, he's able to get out the pocket, move around, run for the first down and things of that nature. And they both have a decent arm. So if it was me, I would probably lean towards Rush just because he's a vet. He's won a Super Bowl personally. And I think Justin Fields is literally like, I get why they did what they did. Like maybe they are going to put money in Justin Fields next year and they want him to sit a year behind Russ. I don't know. Who knows what's going on there? Either way it goes, it's a hot mess. So if I was running Ayuk, I wouldn't go to the Steelers. That's all I know.
Right. So the thing is, his options, for me, it's like, do you want to stay with the 49ers where you know you have a chance of winning? You might get paid a little bit less, but you know the system. You stay another year, maybe. I don't know.
They're still the best team in the NFC.
So for me, it's like to come over to the AFC where you know it's incredibly competitive. You know you're going to act like if you go to the Patriots, you have a chance of winning, right? But like you know it's not really that much of a chance. It's not the Patriots of old. It's the Patriots of new.
Yeah, new coach, like, new OC, new quarterback. I don't know. It's different over there. But then it's like, what if Brandon Ayuk does stay with the Niners for one more year and then like he gets hurt or something this year? I mean, after watching Hard Knocks last season, I was just incredibly surprised by how beat up everybody was on that team last season. Now, again, I'm not naive and I understand that this happens for all teams every year, right? But seeing the amount of injuries that they were going through and like him having to step in and play that role, especially when Debo was out, it's like, do you want to put your body at that type of risk again if he does get another injury this season? And then that drops your stock of possibly going out and getting that 25 plus million that you think that you deserve every year. So I don't know. Let's talk about the AFC a little bit though.
Tough.
Let's talk about the AFC West a little bit because it's a hot mess over there. I mean, I know that we're in over there, like we're a part of over there.
We are, but like not really.
Over here. We're over here. We're good. Our sugar's sweet. The other teams, Lord.
We don't even.
Where do you want to start? You want to start with the Chargers or the Broncos? Because they're both very
Chargers.
Serious.
Let's start with the Chargers.
The Chargers are a very unserious football team. I just want to start there. But they had some really tough news this week with Justin Herbert. It was said that he has plantar fasciitis. Plantar fasciitis.
Plantar.
God bless.
Well, and so I learned about
it. He's going to be out for a few weeks, probably including week one. Now, to look at the schedule is to know that the Chiefs play the Chargers week four. So there is a very high possibility that he will be back. But this type of foot injury is not – hi, thank you. This type of foot injury is something that really sticks with you throughout the whole entire season. So them – don't laugh at me, Lindsay. So them them resting him for the rest of training camp and probably sitting him out week one – I believe their week one and their week two schedules are a little lighter. Like, I think week two is the
– Well, they play the Raiders. Raiders week one.
Yeah, and I think, like, week two is, like, the Panthers or the Bears. So, I think, like, you know, if they wanted to give him those additional – that additional week to be off, they do have an early bye. I think they have a week six bye this year, too. So, it's like
– Yeah, they do play the Panthers week two.
Yeah, so they have – they have
the Steelers little... and then us.
Right. So, I mean, there are some teams there who I don't know what the Chargers are going to do. All I know is this is a very serious injury, and it's not something that you can be over in a few weeks. And I think that this is something he's probably going to play through the whole entire season. And even when he is starting to feel a whole lot better, you can do something extremely minimal to retweak this injury and make it worse. So not good coming out of Chargers camp.
And it's also what happened to Patrick Mahomes in one of the Super Bowls he played in. He had that same injury. He fought through it, but you're playing for a Super Bowl, so you're going to fight through it, and you're going to make sure you play. Justin Herbert going into it in training camp, like, obviously you're not going to risk that in preseason. But then it hurts you because they lost so many of their offensive weapons in free agency and just trading and all that kind of stuff in the offseason. And you kind of need to build that chemistry throughout training camp and preseason. So for Justin Herbert to not have that time, I don't know that that's going to be a great thing. Well, and I know people really want to see Harbaugh do well there. I know, like, that's a big storyline. And of course, I just, the Chargers, man, they're just like kind of cursed. I'm sorry, but they just are.
It happens. But no, I think
we're not mad.
I agree with you on the fact that they have all these new weapons and he needs to be able to go out there and build that chemistry. But I think it's even bigger than that. Y'all have a brand new head coach who is trying to teach and build culture and all of this. And you can't do that if you don't have your quarterback. And I'm sure that he is at every practice doing what he can. But year two Chargers will probably be a lot better than year one Chargers under Harbaugh. So I didn't have high expectations for them anyway.
Right.
Even without the foot injury. I didn't have high expectations.
But it just kind of goes that way with a new coach anyway. Like, you don't really. Absolutely. Everyone's like, oh, I think they'll be a lot better. And I agree. I think he's a way better coach than Staley.
And OC. Coach and OC.
But yeah, I mean, it's going to take time. And then if you don't have your quarterback practicing at the beginning of the season, that's a lot. That's a lot to be out on. So
sorry, guys. The Broncos. Let's talk about that.
The Broncos. The Donkeys.
Very unserious franchise. So if you guys saw today on social media, I don't remember which reporter it was. They reported that, what's his name? Jared Stidham? Is his name Jared?
Yeah. Jared Stidham. Okay.
I couldn't remember his first name. Yeah. He is going to be QB1.
Yep.
That is what they have said. So you have Bo Nix, who you wouldn't got in the draft.
Zach Wilson was named QB2.
Which that's why I feel very unserious. Because first of all, do you quickly know who they play week one? Like, is that near you at all? Why would you not? Okay. Who are you picking as your QB1 if you're the Broncos? Are you going with Zach Wilson or are you going with Bo Nix?
They play the Seahawks again week one. Of course they do.
So they're going against Geno Smith. My conclusion is
we have
what's your name? What's the head coach's name?
Bo Nix. Oh, Sean Payton.
Sean Payton went out on the ledge and said Bo Nix reminds him so much of Patrick Mahomes. And he has so many qualities of this amazing quarterback here in Kansas City. And you're telling me that he's quarterback three? So does that mean that the week and a half, 2 weeks almost 3 weeks that we've had of training camp right now, you're not liking what you're seeing, or are your coaching eyes not nearly as good as they used to be?
Right.
What's happening?
So yeah, he compared him to Patrick Mahomes and Drew Brees, which is crazy because those are like, obviously Sean Payton had a lot of success with Drew Brees, right? They won a Super Bowl together, and then his next quarterback he wanted to draft was Patrick Mahomes, which good eye. Like, you were right. That's smart. But we stole him from
everybody wanted Patrick Mahomes after they got Patrick Mahomes with the Kansas City.
After what he was, right? But
God bless.
I think it's interesting that he chose to coach for the Broncos. Same thing with Harbaugh to the Chargers. I'm like, okay. I mean, you know what division you're in. Like, that's fine. But
Exactly why they came.
Right. They love the competitive. I mean, I get that. But, like, you're taking over a roster. Now, when Sean Payton initially took over, it wasn't, like, awful, awful. But then they got rid of so many guys that were, like, their star players.
Correct.
They don't have a lot left. Like, they do not have a lot left. I think they arguably have the worst roster in the league on the Broncos. So, you have that. And then you take Bo Nix and the top, what was he, 13 pick? Top 12? I can't even remember.
Well, and maybe... Maybe that's the reasoning why they want to hold Bo Nix, because there are so many holes on that roster in all three phases.
And
maybe it's we're going to hold Bo Nix for a year and maybe be able to draft next season and go get him some weapons, and he can have a year of looking and learning the playbook and building relationships and blah, blah. Because there's so many holes on that team right now.
So many. And I did see some Broncos fans like theorizing today that maybe they put Bo Nix as the QB3 because then he gets more playing time in preseason. Whereas you're going to take Stidham out earlier, you're going to take Zach Wilson out earlier, and then you put Bo Nix in there to get a ton of playing time and to do all that.
That's
the one theory I saw that I'm like,
I don't know, because he could be QB1 and you're a rookie who just got drafted. So you're going to play all preseason.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw that last year with CJ Stroud and Bryce Young. They were both QB1 and played through preseason. So
yeah.
why does it make it any – coaching is important. I think if Sean you guys Payton... learn anything from me this season, is that I'm going to probably say coaching is important a lot.
It is. And there's a big reason these other teams in the AFC West are not winning. And so we'll see how Harbaugh does. Sean Payton hasn't showed us much of anything. So we'll just see. The Raiders are, there's not much news on the Raiders. Like,
new head coach,
Antonio Pierce. I think he's going to be good for them. I think he's a good leader for that room. I think he fits the Raider mentality.
Out of the three teams, they're the most solid.
Yeah, I would agree. I think people are underrating them.
So last season when I was saying this, after Antonio Pierce took the head coaching job, I'm like, all right, y'all, we need to watch out there. Yeah. That back half of the year, that November, December. I mean, I think that you would be naive to say they're not going to pick up where they left off. They did add some additional pieces. They have Davante Adams. They have Max Crosby. They have some really great pieces there that can still be successful. And I think having a new head coach, bringing in a new culture, and they're really kind of having fun, which is, as somebody who hates the Raiders, it's great to see, because I personally would like a little more competition in the AFC West. But, you know, I think they're the second best team in the division. So
I would agree. I do think if they had a decent quarterback, they would be even better. But I do think their defense is going to be really good. So
glad they don't.
We got to watch out there. Quarterback. Yeah.
Right. So glad they don't have a decent quarterback. So we talked about the Niners already, but I guess we didn't talk about CMC being out possibly week one with a calf strain.
Yes. That just happened today.
So. I don't really fall into the whole Madden curse thing. I know a lot of people do. I don't. But technically, if you remember CMC's history before he got to the Niners, when he was with
He was injured a lot.
And he went to a great team that has a really good training medical staff that gets their people in good shape. And he's been a lot healthier now, more than normal. So am I surprised? No. Could it be something that's minimal? And they're just like, it's training camp and we already know what you can do for us. We don't need to see you until week one. Could be. So who knows what's really going there?
Yeah, not much to say about that, but yeah, it's a bummer. He'll be injured. He's out for camp pretty much and for preseason, and then they hope to get him back week one. And for like everyone's fantasy purposes, I hope he's back. They do have Cody Schrader, right?
Nope.
No.
So no, they originally drafted. I mean, they originally got Cody Schrader in UDFA, and then they cut him, and now I think he went to the Battlehawks UFL.
What?
Yeah, because I remember being like, well, at least he's back close to St. Louis. Like, he's close
to
home.
Yeah, he's from there.
I love Cody Schrader. I wanted the Chiefs to get him, and it's not because it's a Mizzou tie. Cody Schrader was one of the best running backs in the freaking league.
Yeah.
And he was identical to CMC. So,
do they have, like, rights to him then? Like, can he come back? Or I don't know how that
works. I'm not sure. I would have to look into that.
Yeah. Anyway,
so let's talk about why the Chiefs don't have joint practices.
So what we saw today. So the Giants, the New York Giants and the Detroit Lions have their first actual preseason game on Thursday. Against each other. So they've been doing joint practices all week, which is kind of like.
I feel like we might need to explain that a little bit more, Lexi, because we have a lot of new fans who listen to us who are newer to the NFL. So they're really like, what do you mean? Right. So practices happen during training camp and they're kind of like little games. And basically what you're doing is one team is going against a different team during a practice. So they're practicing, but they have NFL refs there. And they're pretty much like going through it like a game, but it's at a lot slower pace because, you know, they're still diving into details, blah, blah, blah. So there's a lot of teams in the NFL that have joint practices during training camp. Andy Reid does not and will never. So you've never seen that happen in Kansas City because Andy Reid does not want other teams to see our plays. And what we're getting ready to talk about now about what happened at a joint practice is another reason why Andy Reid will never have joint practices.
If you remember the Lions, Dan Campbell actually asked us to do a joint practice this season. And Andy Reid said, no, of course, because that's what he does. But they made it like a whole storyline. And all the Lions fans were like, oh, like, you guys don't want to do a joint practice.
We never do.
Remember, like, no, we don't do those.
Y'all beat us week one. That should be enough. Y'all beat us week one. Anyway, there was a huge brawl today, y'all. It was big. It was a fight. It was spicy. It was good. I kept looking for clips because they were fighting out there.
It was, and Malik, their rookie, Malik Nabers, started it on
Lions
defensive back. One of the Lions DBs, I'm forgetting his name now, but he like hit him in the head in the back of the helmet. And then, of course, that guy's going to strike back. But I mean, he like striked back. He came full force with the punches right away and was like, like, you are not. And
so in my mind, I immediately went, hey, rookie, welcome to the NFL. Because if this was an actual game, you would be suspended. You cannot throw punches at
people. Can't do that.
You can't do that. This is not college, even though you couldn't do that in college. So joint practices are happening around the NFL. They're spicy. And I will say, like, fights definitely happen during training camp. But we'll talk about Chiefs training camp in a little bit. But, like, little tussles happen, and that's expected. Yeah. Like, they're ready to actually go out there and play football. They're tired of being out in the heat, playing against each other, practicing. Exactly. So the scuffles happen. And yeah, I think the last thing about, no, sorry, it's not the last thing. But if you are watching Hard Knocks at all, you will realize that the Giants season just ended, which their Hard Knocks episode was actually really good. I enjoyed it. And
it was good content.
It was really good. I really liked it. And the Bears starts tonight. So the Hard Knocks marathon keeps going. And then as soon as the Bears ends, it's the AFC North. So it's just going to be good. I'm going to watch because I want to see what's going on with Caleb Williams and what's going on with the Bears and all of that good stuff. Anyway, let's talk about, we could have opened here, but we need the transition
to
talk about Chiefs. So we can do that now. So as you guys know that, did you tell me to wait?
No. Go ahead.
As you guys know, the NFL Top 100 came out. And it's been out for the last week and a half, 2 weeks. They finally went through numbers 1 through 10 last Friday. We knew that there were only 3 Chiefs players total on the whole entire 100 list of players, which asinine, doesn't make sense. We knew the 3 players were going to be Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, and Patrick Mahomes, but we were just like, all right, where do they fall? For me, I'm like, they're going to go 1, 2, 3. Like, yeah. But that also has a lot to do with fantism, whatever you call it.
Homerism. Kelce,
right, homerism. Fantism. So, Travis Kelce went at number 9, which, okay.
I understand that.
I get it. And plus, he missed week 1. He didn't have a 1,000-yard season, even though he should have.
He's still the best, but, like, it wasn't his best season ever.
It wasn't the offense's best season. So, okay. No. Cool. Patrick, I mean, Travis Kelce, number 9. Cool. I get it. He'll be in the top 5 next season.
Yeah.
Chris Jones went at number 6, and I don't know if you guys seen, but he had his – if you watched, it's so funny listening to Chris Jones because last season he was like, did I make the top 5? And he was so angry about not making the top 5 last season. So he kind of carried that on going into this season. He's like, all right, did I make the top 5? And they're like, no. And he's like, what do you mean I didn't make – whole long tangent. And then he started counting. Chris Jones went at number 6, which I'm also not mad about this.
No, 6 I think is amazing for him.
Especially because Myles Garrett went number 5.
He beat out TJ Watt, which people were mad about.
I don't know why.
I don't either, but Steelers fans were mad.
He's better than him. Sorry. But
people are mad about everything all the time. So anyway.
They'll be all right. Myles Garrett went at number 1, which makes sense because him and Chris Jones play the same position. For a lot of people don't know, he plays on the Browns defense, and the Browns have one of the best defenses, like, year after year after year after year. Like, it's sick how good they are. And I think he was, like, voted the best defensive player of the year this year with the SBs, right? Yeah, he was. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
Myles Garrett. Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
He was voted that. So here's where all the drama comes from. Patrick Mahomes goes at number 4. 2-time back-to-back Super Bowl champion. And before we get into the conversation, we're going to rattle through it. Patrick Mahomes at number 4. Christian McCaffrey, who plays for the Niners. He's a running back. He went at number 3. Lamar Jackson. Let me start over. Christian McCaffrey, who plays for the Niners, who's a running back who the Chiefs beat in the Super Bowl, went at number 4. Lamar Jackson, the quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens, who the Chiefs beat in the AFC Championship, went at number 2. And number 1 went to Tyreek Hill, the wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins, who the Chiefs beat in the AFC Divisional Round. So.
No, wild card. Wild card.
Wild card. My bad. I couldn't remember what game it was. I knew it was wild the first card. One when it was cold. My brain's still cold. So Patrick Mahomes went at number 4, and the 3 people ahead of him, he beat them all during the playoff run. Not last year, during the playoff run last year.
Correct.
I have nothing to say. I'm like,
There's really not a lot to say. So, okay.
The disrespect.
I just want to start with watching this live, and I'm watching and I'm like, oh my God, Chris Jones got 6. That's amazing. Like, love that. He deserves it. Right. Mm-hmm. Was it Myles Garrett or Trent Williams that went next?
Myles Garrett went at 5.
Myles Garrett. Okay.
Yeah. Because fine, he would have expected. Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, thinking, I'm literally expecting Tyreek Hill to be next. And then they pan to Patrick Mahomes and I'm like, my jaw dropped. I was
very
like,
unserious.
No, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding. 4th?
Now, you're saying there's 3 people better in the NFL, better than Patrick Mahomes. Okay.
The quarterback is easily the most valuable position in football.
Correct.
You're also telling me there's another quarterback, an entire quarterback you would take ahead of him. Correct. And a quarterback that's never beaten him in the playoffs, ever. He's beaten him 1 time in the regular seasons. And all the times they've faced each other. Now, I understand they face each other's defenses, right? Chiefs' defense was terrible. Ravens have had a great defense. Lamar Jackson had 24 passing touchdowns and 3,600 passing yards last year. Patrick Mahomes in his down year had what, 4,200 passing yards and 27 touchdowns.
Correct. You know, it's funny.
I understand that Lamar was the MVP of the season. He was fantastic through the first 10 whatever games. He was fantastic. But his team helped him a lot, and his defense helped him a lot. And arguably, throughout the regular season, the Ravens had the best defense. So that's going to help you win MVP because you're going to be winning games. And at that time, the best quarterbacks in the league were struggling. And they vote on this award in like November or December, which is dumb because you're saying it's for the whole entire year. So when you're doing that, they need to be voting on this in February and March.
They could literally do this in January. So
that's when you need to be doing this award.
Correct. Well, I have a lot to say about this, but Lamar Jackson has now been ahead of Patrick Mahomes twice. This is the second time in the top 100 that he's been ahead of him. Cool. And I also realize that this is a player vote. And I also realize that the NFL gives these players a list of 20 people at a time and say, who do you think falls best in here? I get it. It's very calculated how they're doing what they're doing. And I think it's dumb. I really think they should just stop doing it because it's dumb. Especially when someone said it, you have people like Aaron Rodgers who makes the list, but then you have like a L'Jarius Sneed or a Trent McDuffie who does not make the list. With the best duo last season.
Can we add in that Trent McDuffie and L'Jarius Sneed both stopped the best player in the NFL multiple times in regular season and postseason?
I mean, all three of them
for sure. But like Tyreek Hill, the best player in the league, they didn't let him rap against us. And then L'Jarius Sneed and Trent McDuffie get sniped. They're snubbed from the list.
So there's a few things I have to say about this list. I feel like whoever the NFL social media people are who are creating this, because it can't be anybody more serious than that, who are giving these lists to these players and saying, you need to do this. I feel like they really need to do a better job at watching football, because there are a lot of people, not even just Chiefs players, who were left off of the list, who should definitely be on the list. I feel like these players who are filling out this list should also be like, oh, where is such and such? How are you not identifying the dudes y'all are going up against and that are jamming y'all up because y'all are haters? Because what is it?
Yeah.
Because there's no reason. Like, Trent McDuffie, love him to death. Yes. There's no reason L'Jarius Sneed was not on this list. Like, none. At all. Like, I don't get it. None I think reason. There needs to be a stipulation. You have to play at least 50% of the games in the season. I think there's so many things that need to be added to this list. And I don't want to go in on a top 100 list because, again, I think it's very strategic the way that they are doing the things that they're doing.
It's become a popularity contest at this point,
which is totally fine. But like, Patrick Mahomes is the coolest dude in the NFL, so why is he not number one? Like, cool. All right. Patrick Mahomes is the best dude in the NFL. And this is how I know that, like, I was listening to Good Morning Football this morning and I was laughing because Peter Schrager was like,
that's hilarious.
Yeah. Literally. Peter Schrager was just kind of like, he was like, I get that y'all are trying to force me to keep having the conversation about Patrick Mahomes being at four. He was like, everybody knows that that's ridiculous. He was like, I understand that like ESPN and whoever, they're trying to pull out all these segments and have all these conversations about Patrick Mahomes being number four. He was like, but basically what y'all did was add fuel to this team. And that's the last thing that y'all need to do. Why do y'all keep giving Patrick Mahomes to want to come out and go scorched earth on everybody? He's maybe, like, I'm not about to sit here and keep talking about this. Y'all know y'all messed up.
Like, here's a weird theory. Maybe that's what they want. Maybe they were like, Patrick Mahomes wasn't fiery enough last year. Maybe we need to give him more motivation.
They were terrible.
Maybe we need to give him more motivation because the league is better when Patrick Mahomes is playing scorched earth.
But the thing is it was going to be like that before this list came out, because have you seen our freaking receivers? They have been baller.
Have I seen them?
All training camp. Like, it's a little, yeah. Let's go ahead and just get into training. I mean, well, no, we still got Chiefs news. Patrick Mahomes being number four is BS. That's all I'm going to say.
That's all we're going to say. Look, mic drop here. He is the best player in football. He has earned his number one spot. There's no reason to put him at number four. Lamar Jackson is not better than Patrick Mahomes. I don't care if he played better the first 10 weeks of football. You know that come playoff time, Patrick Mahomes is better. I'm sorry.
Literally went respect on the road and
put some respect on his freaking name. Put some respect on his name. Like, all you guys are doing by disrespecting him. I know you have Chiefs fatigue. I know these players are like, I'm gonna be a little brat about it. He doesn't deserve it. No, you know he deserves it, and you're gonna get what you deserve. That's all I have to say.
Don't be mad when Patrick goes for 45 touchdowns. 45
and 5,000 yards.
5,000 yards this season.
Don't be mad.
I was at camp. I was like, these receivers are so damn good. I wouldn't be surprised if he went for like 5,500 yards this season. Like, I would not be freaking surprised.
Literally, his first season went 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards. Don't be surprised.
If Andy Reid will let us put up more than 30 points a game, then hey.
Right.
It's over for y'all.
Andy Reid gets too respectful and doesn't like to embarrass people.
Start embarrassing people. Harrison Butker got paid. The best kicker in the NFL got a big payday. It is well deserved. He is now making more money than Justin Tucker, who is the second best kicker in the NFL. His payday was great. He is now getting $6.4 million average per year at $17.8 million guaranteed, and he deserves it. Harrison Butker has saved this Chiefs team so many times over the last few seasons with game-winning field goals from freaking 45 or 55 yards deep and winning us games. So if anyone deserves to have a big payday, it's the Mr. Bucker. Mr. Harry, you deserve all the money. So super excited for him.
No, I'm really excited. And we knew his contract was coming up this next year, right? Uh-huh. So he has been detrimental to our dynasty run so far. Mm-hmm. And if y'all haven't noticed, I don't know what you want about him personally, whatever, but like, if y'all haven't noticed, really good kickers are really hard to come by. Like, there are so many kickers throughout the league that struggle. He missed two whole kicks last season. Two total. Of all the kicks you're asked to make throughout every single game, he missed two. Two field goals. He hit every single one in the playoffs in weather. He hit them in Buffalo. He hit them in negative 30 degrees in Kansas City during the division or during the wild card game. When you know how that ball feels like you're going to like kicking a brick. Like, he is phenomenal. And then he sealed our deal against the Eagles in the Super Bowl last year. So
Shout out to Virginia. He has been
unbelievably clutch. He deserves to be paid. I know we're not like all about paying like special teams a ton, which is why we love Tommy Townsend. We let him go because Punter's not.
You can't pay Harry and Harrison.
While we love Tommy Townsend, Harrison's scoring you the points. So he's
and
the
Matt
one.
Araiza is doing fantastic.
He's doing great
training camp so far. So if you're gonna have to get, if you have to replace either your punter or your kicker, I am A-okay with replacing your punter. Hell, put Justin Reid out there. He can go punt the ball if we need him to. Just make sure we get the ball to Harrison Patrick
Mahomes can punt.
God bless. I'm like,
now we don't want that, but he can.
I know. I'm just like, what can Patrick not do? And please don't let anybody realize that he can do these things if we need him to, because he's going to be like, put me out there, coach. I can do it. And it's like, please go sit down. So we know that there are rumors that there's still two possible Chiefs players that will be signed before this season starts, right? So really hoping that, you know, it's looking like that may be a Creed Humphrey. It's looking like that could be Trey Smith.
Yeah, that's the rumor.
So, I mean, if we can lock them both in, I would be very happy.
I'm not going to lie to you. Right now, I love Nick Bolton. Do not get me wrong.
I do too.
He's been injured.
Can't stay healthy.
Hasn't stayed healthy last season. He missed a bunch of games. He's now injured in training camp. He's missing training camp.
I'm trying to figure out, though, is he hurt or is it hot?
He's hurt, I think. Chris Jones, I think it's hot.
Yeah, Chris Jones is hot. Oh, my
Chris
shoulder.
Chris Jones wants his days off.
Oh, my shoulder.
Oh,
like, I got a 104 today, Chris. Okay.
Sure you do, Chris.
No, I do think that. I do agree. I do think Nick Bolton does have that forearm.
No, I injury. I do.
Elbow. Yeah.
So for those of you that might not know, he has like, he got a little bit of like a nick on his elbow forearm type thing in training camp.
About a week ago.
He needs to have himself a huge season because we didn't see that from him last year. Now, my thing is,
we did. He was good. Nick Bolton was pretty good last year.
He was good. He was. Yeah. He's a very smart player. He's very cerebral. He knows every single position on the defense. He will get your guys in line. He's a little bit slower. So he misses some tackles that you're like, you're right there to make it. Or, you know, like he's messed up a little bit here and there. My thing is, our past years, the same year we drafted Nick Bolton, we drafted Creed and Trey. And those guys have been healthy the entire time. And our interior O-line has been, I want to say, the best in the NFL. I think you could argue maybe the Dallas Cowboys or like the Lions or the Eagles, but I want to say our
not the Eagles, O-line, not without Jason.
I'm saying before, like the past years. I would say now, I think we have the best one with Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, and Trey Smith. And
our IOL is lit.
You guys, we have the best quarterback in the world, if not going to go down as the best in history after he plays. You need to protect him and you need to invest in those players to protect him. And Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey have proved time and time again that they are those guys. And I know everyone's like, oh, we're obviously going to pay Creed. For me, I'm like, why would you obviously not pay Trey too?
We need to pay Creed, but Creed cannot play like he played last season.
And Creed has to fix his snaps, but so far in training camp, he has, and he looks a lot better.
If he comes out looking the way he did last season, I'm going to be very angry.
I think he's fine. I think he just
I hope he is.
I think he just slipped into a little funk, honestly. But
and so I wanted to
my
say
opinion.
Something.
I think you pay both of them. That's where I'm at.
I definitely think you pay Trey Smith. I definitely think Creed needs to be paid. I think Creed could be paid in the offseason, though, not now. That's my personal opinion because I think I want to see the improvements that he made from last season. I think you have to figure out this left tackle situation because what in the hell is happening over there? Kingsley is doing an amazing job, but he has not played a real-life game in the NFL yet. So no. Saturday is going to be very telling.
Oh, yeah.
Nick Bolton. I think Nick Bolton is really freaking good. And I think that he has to just figure out a way to overcome this injury. I think that he is one of the heartbeats of the defense along with Chris Jones.
This comment Spags has said that he is like the defense does run through him. So I think
they do.
That would be a huge proponent for re-signing him.
Well, and I think Nick Bolton should be re-signed, but solely based on health. He has to be healthy.
He has to be healthy this year.
Now, granted, he played most of the end of last season with a cast on his arm all the way through the Super Bowl. And he was still very dominant. And even though he couldn't, like, he had a few times where he was in the way of the ball but couldn't catch it because he had a freaking cast on his hand. So, I mean, he almost had
an interception against someone. And he, like, didn't get it because of his cast. I'm trying to think who it was.
I can't remember. It was a playoff game. Lamar?
Maybe Josh. No.
Could have been Josh Allen, for sure.
Could have been.
Could have been Josh Allen. Wouldn't doubt it. Would not doubt it. Not at all one bit. But I think I just need to see a healthy Nick Bolton this year. And
I
need to see a healthy Nick Bolton. I need to see that Creed Humphrey made those adjustments. Like, we could talk about it. Yeah, I thought it was Lamar. I need to see that Creed Humphrey. Made those adjustments. And again, we see all these things in preseason, we see all of these things at training camp, but a lot of it means nothing to me until I see them lined up against somebody. So that is why I cannot wait for Saturday because I'm ready to sit in front of a TV and not move for 3.5 hours. So a lot happened in training camp this week, which, I mean, gonna be honest, I've been out there a few days. It all looks the same.
After a while, that's
what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be creating routine, creating habit.
Yeah.
Great. You're supposed to be, I think everybody is seeing that Isaiah Pacheco versus George Karloff. No.
Drew.
Drew Tranquil has been the best freaking matchup in training camp, which, not a lie, those two have been going at it. And I love to see it because that is why they are both the best of the best. The wide receivers look great. There's not really anything to say there.
They really
do. Catching the ball. And they run really fast. That's like kind of the end of that. I love seeing them. They look good. Like, I actually don't have to see them anymore because I'm sold already. Like, I'm sold.
And the thing is, like, I remember going last season and I was talking with friends afterwards and we were just like, there was such a disconnection on the deep ball last season in training camp.
Yeah.
That I was like, this is going to be a real test of Mahomes' skill set because these receivers are not doing what they need to do, even in training camp.
No.
It just wasn't there. And that's because you had, I'm sorry, but MVS running the deep route and you had, it just, that was pretty much it.
Like, I do want to speak very, very highly of Carson Wentz right now.
Yes, yes.
Because Carson Wentz is great. But the work that he is able to have with the receiver still is so good. It's like the receivers are not necessarily losing a beat going from the first string to the second and third string with Carson. So it's like Pat can be out here with them. He can run these routes, do these deep balls, blah, 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 and everything look cohesive and sync. And then Carson can step in and do the exact same thing with the exact same receivers, and it's flowing like poetry. So I will say I love the fact that Carson Wentz can come here. He knows how to run out the pocket. He knows how to throw the deep ball. He knows how to break down the defense. That transition from QB1 to QB2 is probably the best I've ever seen. And it's really helping our second and third and fourth string guys be good when they're playing just the different rotations with them. And I will say, like, it's nice to see, like I said, it's nice to see Kingsley getting those reps at LT1. Like, that's really good to see, especially when you're going against the first string defense. When you're going against
where you have guys, Chris Jones and George Karloftis and FAU. And
and they are not letting up. And FAU has been looking great this training camp. So I can't wait to see
how
that transitions to.
Shout out Tom Bahali for training with our guys.
God bless Tom Bahali.
I love
Who else
him.
Needs to come? What other veteran needs to come out and be with these dudes? Which they are. They've been at a lot of practices.
We've seen Derek Johnson. He came out a few weeks ago, or like last week. We saw Trent Green. Week. Trent Green came out today, which was cool.
Oh, I didn't see that.
So I love having these vets that come back. And then the controversial one is not a vet, but an old coach of a enemy, John Gruden.
Why are you here? I know why you're here. But why? Please go away.
Andy's. No, did you hear his answer?
No.
He was like, he loves football. I go way back with him 30 years. Like, he's just here to observe and blah, blah, blah. I'm like,
okay, whatever.
But yeah, I think Carson Wentz could easily be a starter somewhere. So to have him as our backup, I think it's going to be
Denver today.
Right. I think and Raiders too.
He could start on two teams in the AFC West
easily. That's just a few to name. But I think having him as our backup, I think, is huge. I think it's gonna be good for his own career. I think like showing what he can do. I'm really excited to have him as our backup.
He's like, I'll come here and do whatever you need me to do, Pat and Andy. Let's get this ring.
Yeah.
What you need me to do? I can do whatever. I would not be surprised if, like, we barely saw Carson Wentz in preseason. Like,
I know. I'm wondering how that's going to go. I think we'll see him a lot week one.
Carson Wentz might play one quarter.
I think week one we'll see him. Yeah.
And that's it. We might not see much of him.
I think week one, we'll get into it too, but I think we're going to see, I think we'll see like a drive or two from Mahomes. I think that's about it with your starters. Then I think you see Carson
Wentz. He's going to throw the ball to So for fun fact, for those of you who are going to training camp to watch training camp, when the first team offense goes out there, and I'm telling you this because at this point I've now seen this 9 times, Patrick always throws the ball to Travis Kelce first, every single time. every single time in training camp. And then they'll go off, and then the second team will come in, and then the third team will come in, and then the first team will come out. And what does he do? Throws the ball, Travis Kelce, the first time, every single time. So
it's like
I've learned when I'm getting content, I'm like, oh shoot. I'm getting content. I'm like, oh shoot, the first team's out. He's about to throw it to Travis. I've learned this now. Because that's what
literally they're like ball and chain. Patrick's like, let me make sure the old ball and chain still works. All right, we're good.
You gotta entertain the crowd. All right. Go back over there now. Let's give the ball to Isaiah Pacheco.
Let's try some other things. Yeah.
And I will say, we talked about this on Sunday when I was just out at camp. Eric Bieniemy, you still kind of feel his presence. Like when the running backs or the receivers are completing a pass or completing a catch, they run to the end zone every single time. It doesn't matter where they are on the field. So like most players will like stop once they get the ball, and you know, they might run a couple yards and be done. No, this team, they run to the end zone every single time. And that was definitely something that was instilled in them from Coach EB. So it's still good to kind of see that that tradition is still carrying on, even though he's gone.
Right.
Love EB. Where are we at?
Love him.
Well, there's still get into, let's talk about
what we want to see in preseason. Like what we want to.
Let's go there because that'll last a minute. Super excited. Chiefs' first preseason game this Saturday, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time in Jacksonville. It is going to be so hot. I pray that they are hydrating now. It is going to be so hot in Jacksonville for them. But this is going to be some – I mean, do we really see a rep from Chris Jones this week? Do we see a rep?
I think you're going to see him on, like, one rep. I think one.
It's so hot down there. I feel like I need to – hey, Siri. What's the weather in Jacksonville this week?
Well, they just had a freaking hurricane that went through. Oh, sorry. I probably interrupted your Siri.
Oh, she said it's currently raining and 78 degrees.
Oh, there you go. Oh, that's not too bad.
Okay, hold on. It's pulling. Oh, it's supposed to be raining. Oh, it's like thunderstorm on Saturday in 94. If it's a thunderstorm, I don't want to see any of the ones. Don't put them out there.
Yeah,
if it's storming, I don't want to see.
Now, I don't want to. Listen, I love bad weather in regular season, but I don't want my guys going out there in preseason in bad weather.
No, I don't want to see them at all. And it says thunderstorm, Lexi. Thursday, it rains today. Okay, 60% chance of rain today. 75 tomorrow, and it drops to 40. But it technically says rain till Sunday night.
Wow.
So it's rain every day in down there. So I don't want to see the ones.
Yeah, I don't trust them.
They don't got it. They can hang out on the sidelines. They don't have to do much. But
what Andy's gonna do if it's bad?
I don't know. So again, how much of Carson Wentz are we gonna see? I think he'll play. I definitely think he'll play.
Definitely. Definitely.
I think he'll play a quarter. I'm very interested to see. So, like, this is another one of those games. Like, I don't got to see Isaiah Pacheco at running back. Like, I know what he can do.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're really trying to figure out that running back, halfback role right now. Fullback, halfback, running back. They're all the same thing. We're trying to figure out that role right now. So, it's like.
Right.
I think we'll see a lot of Carson still. I think we'll see a lot of LRZ, especially because he's I think he's a piece on this team and he is trying to learn. So I think we'll see.
Yes, I think we're going to see a ton of both of them. I think we're going to see Denarik Prince.
Oh, yeah.
It's been interesting at running back. I can't remember us having like. It's been like two solid running backs for a while.
A blessing. Our whole life.
And. Right. And so this year it's like Isaiah Pacheco, obviously running back one. He's earned that spot completely. 101 million percent. But after that, it's like I think people were expecting Clyde to be RB2.
I think he will be.
I think he will be, but I think like in camp at least it's been a lot of Denarik Prince at running back two. And then Carson Steele has kind of earned that
3-4 spot. For me, CEH has been here 5 seasons. We know what he can do. We know what he brings. Yeah. He has a lot of other things that he's dealing with right now. So I would rather him focus on making himself feel well and feel good. And right. We'll see him when we need him. Like, and Clyde, he was out there on Sunday. Like, he looked good on Sunday. So, yeah. I mean, I don't think we need to see too much. That's like Chris Jones. You don't need to see a lot from him. You know
what I mean? And for those of you that, like, might not know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire opened up a lot to the media last weekend.
Yeah, we talked about it, I think, Tuesday.
Did we last Tuesday? I don't remember. Okay, yeah. Well, he struggles, yeah, with, like, PTSD and mental health and...
Which I think is very dope yeah. that he opened up about
that. Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. And I'm glad he opened up about it. But
yeah, it was really good. I was listening to another podcast and they were kind of talking. One of the Chiefs media who was actually there that day, he spoke a lot about like what that conversation looked like and being actually in the room. And, you know, I appreciate him for being that courageous. And just being able to have that type yeah. of conversation. So absolutely. Now it's kind of like, all right, well, the world knows what he's dealing with. So if he's not out there, I'm totally fine with that. Like, I know yeah. he's going to be on this team. And I know that when the time is right, he's going to deliver. Like, hearing the story about how at the Super Bowl, Travis Kelce noticed that something wasn't right with right. CEH at this last Super Bowl. And yeah. he said he could tell, like, when your team, for me, I feel like he's built such a great relationship with this team and his teammates. They can learn to identify when he's having a up or a down day. And yeah. sometimes you just got to be by yourself. And this season is a lot and it can be overwhelming. So I love that they're giving yeah. Generic Prince kind of that role, because at the end of the day, we don't have a running back 3 and we need one since McKenna's not back. So
yeah,
if that means him and Carson still got to step up.
Right.
Totally fine with it. Like, I'm totally fine with it. And yeah. I will say we've seen a lot more of Denarik Prince than Carson Steele, but I think Carson has been really good the moments that he has been out there. So,
and he's been earning his snaps. And I mean, even to hear Andy Reid say, like, that's a guy we have our eyes on, got to see how it goes in games, but he has all the chance in the world to earn a roster spot. So that's we had him on our podcast 2 months ago at this point, and we said, like, he'd be in that fullback role. So,
wow.
I know. Yeah. Like, almost 2 months, yeah.
He's kind of little, yeah. though. But, yeah. I'm like, he's kind of little. But, yeah.
I think he's great. All a muscle. He's
yeah, I met short, height. But he's yeah. short. Yeah, I'm like. And short, that's how I yeah. feel about Denarik Prince, where I think he's great. He's tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about the tight ends.
I'm
very happy with what I'm seeing from Jarrett Wiley. He has been looking great at camp.
Fantastic.
I don't think the boy from the Bengals is going to make the team. That's how I feel. Irv Smith Jr.
I think, in my opinion, so Irv Smith Jr., he was on the Vikings, and then he's on the Bengals. Now he's here. I think he didn't really show out on the Bengals last season to where it's like you notice much. I was excited about the addition of him because at that point we hadn't drafted Jared Wiley.
Correct. So it was great to get another body.
We just had Travis and Noah.
What? Yeah, because Jody was gone.
Yeah, Jody. We lost Jody Fortson. So at that point, it's like, oh, that's very welcomed. And I still welcome him here. I want to see what he can do in preseason. I think he has to show out in preseason.
Can we do this season with 3 tight ends again? Travis, yes. Noah.
I think there's a chance we Jared. Take 4, and that would be him.
I'm just saying, do you run three tight ends and have 7 receivers?
Right.
We were talking about this last week. You gotta there's a position that's not gonna be filled if we keep 7 receivers. To keep 7 receivers. Yeah. That means there is going to be a hole somewhere.
You take from somewhere else, yeah.
So, where does it come from?
I think that's where you just learn so much from preseason, and you see what these guys are capable of, and you just go from there. There's not much to say until we see it in the actual game, like, yeah, setting.
Absolutely.
Because we see preseason, and guys have their moments. There's guys that don't have their moments. And for the first, like, week or two that we went, we weren't seeing much of Irv Smith Jr. We were like, where is this guy? And then I felt like I was asking that on Twitter. And then all of a sudden it was like, here he is. And it's like, oh, okay. asking you shall receive, right? But I feel like it's because no one was like really talking about him, and now people are like starting to pay more
attention.
I'm not
seeing him at camp.
So we'll
see. I see Jared Wiley balling.
Now listen, my thing is, and I think this is what Andy Reid said in his presser too, it's like, make this decision hard on us. Make this hard.
Well,
like,
yeah.
We want it to be hard. So like, I want anyone and everyone to succeed. I want like the best of the best. I want these guys to do well.
Everybody.
I want them all to do well. I hope
everybody
want.
I hope they all do well.
But
that's the goal. The goal
y'all
is
have
to
show out.
The goal is to have 3 Super Bowls.
Yeah,
we're only taking the best. we're only taking the best.
Yeah,
and so that's why I'm actually kind of excited to get up to training camp next week, because I want to see what camp looks like after a preseason game.
Right.
Just because it does feel like it's been such a routine and kind of just getting back on track and that I want to see the left tackle battle after training camp. After the game.
The preseason game. And that's going to show you, it's going to show us what we need to work on, right? Like, we're going to be like, okay, this position's way weaker than we thought. This one's way better than we thought. Like, so I'm just really looking forward to that. But
I will have my eyes on the defensive line. No Nick Bolton, no Willie Gay. I need to see what's happening with those LBs. The
linebackers, I'm really...
Linebacker core is... thin. It was thin last year, thin again this year. The run stop defense.
Yeah.
What is that looking like? Do not have them running all over you, which I think is why you see Isaiah Pacheco and Drew Tranquil going at it.
Yeah.
That kind of makes me feel a little bit better, because we don't have time to be seeing all these running backs running all the heck over us. So I think that's where my eyes are really going to be. And the corners. We don't know what's going on there.
Well, so for me with the defense, it's like we have a lot of really good starters, really, really solid starters, but it's the depth that's worrying me in some of these positions. Now, D-line, not as much, because it's a lot of the same guys from last season. So really with D-line, the guys I'm looking forward to seeing are FAU and his improvements. I want to see more of Neil Farrell and stopping the run, because God knows we need that. He's working under Mike Pinnell, which I trust Mike, but like, I want to see more of Neil. And then Fabian Lovett, who's had a really good camp so far. Those are my D-line guys I'm like really looking forward to watch. But if you think about it, week one, we have to go through freaking Derrick Henry and the Ravens, who are going to want blood.
Like, depending on how much. Oh, week one. Yeah.
Week one.
But I'm also like, we can lose 6 games and win the Super Bowl. So.
Right, but still, I'm like, we got to start somewhere, and I'm just going off that. And what
I wouldn't if we split 1-1 week between, I wouldn't be surprised if we came out of going into week 3 at 1-1.
At 1-1, yeah. That'd be fine. But I know, like Spags said, he's like, we haven't, in their training camps this year, they haven't done much against the run. So he's really curious to see, like, in the game setting, how they do against the run. So I'm obviously really curious to see. I think guys that have stepped up, I think the big one is Jack Cochran. He's been, like, the biggest step up in the linebacker room in Nick Bolton's absence. Because we've needed someone to step up, and he's, like, the guy that, like, actually also knows all the positions kind of like he does.
Yeah,
but we had to see him in a few game settings last season, and it wasn't quite as good as Nick Bolton when he had to fill it in, but it wasn't terrible. But I'm hoping like he can make a big jump this season if he needs to, because like you said, linebackers are thin in depth wise. And then I'm also excited about Swayze Bozeman. That's a name that I've seen thrown around here and there. And
I have not seen him.
Apparently he's like really, I was listening to Spags' press conference today, the Swayze Bozeman guy. Watch for his name on Saturday. Just look out for his name on the defense, because apparently he's been really like being mentored by Nick Bolton and Jack Cochran in like that same kind of role. Hmm. So I think you're going to see him a lot, like probably in the second half of that game on Saturday. So just look out for the name Swayze Bozeman. I think that's going to be a big one.
What's he playing, fourth string right now?
like third, fourth. Yeah.
Okay. I'm like, and that could be my fault too, because I just have not been paying attention to the fourth string at all.
No, I mean, there's plenty of, I mean, there's so many guys out there, you know, and like, 90. But I think he's a name that I'm looking for that I'm going to be like,
yeah, for sure.
I'm expecting him to make a splash in absence of some other guys. So,
I think for me, I kind of talked about the D-line, but I really want to see what's going to happen with these DBs. There's a lot going on there, and they're already showing signs of being healthy and not healthy.
Yes,
so Jalen Watson was back, and now he's out. And so I'm like, okay, what is that about?
No, he's back today.
He was back today. He was back, and then he was out. So he's back.
He's back today.
Yeah. Okay. So he's back today. Not sure what's going on with these guys. It seems like him, Nazi, they all keep having tweaks happening every other day. So I would like to just see some consistent days from them out there. Yeah. And I'm really hope I want to see what's going to happen on Saturday. I really am excited to see, God bless, Joshua Williams. I can't wait to see what he looks like lined up with Trent. I'm waiting on that. That is what I'm most excited for. And I want to know what's going to happen at this safety position, because Justin Reed's not playing. So what's Brian Cook going to do? What are these guys going to be able to do? I mean, I know we already know that these guys are great. It's just a matter of their health. All of our whole entire secondary struggles with staying healthy, which is why we have to kind of have the depth in that position. So excited to see a lot of these guys come back off an injury and get back on the field and see what it looks like. But then again, if it's raining, I don't want them out there. I don't want to see him out there in the rain, because I don't want them to do anything that's going to – but we don't have a choice, because we literally don't have anybody else. So
yeah. That's like, the thing is, like, it's the depth. It's the depth we're worried about. So, like, the starters, I hope they play a few reps, and we're going to have to. But
call the game.
After that –
I like the Hall of Fame game. Call it in the third quarter.
Yeah, I think, like, I'm wondering. So Kelvin Joseph has been a big camp standout.
He's been great.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. Really, in the last few days, he's been dealing with a minor injury as well. Which is,
I'm
really
like, is it hot or are y'all hurt? Is it hot?
I don't know. And I know he just had a baby, so it's like maybe I don't know.
Sleep deprived.
And then, another name. Okay, so these are like some smaller names I'm looking for are Keith Taylor and Echo Boydo. Those are like two names. I wouldn't even say
Boydo is a small name. He, when he's out there, he's really good.
He played a little bit last year. Keith Taylor's new to us.
And he was pretty good. It's all about getting those reps in, because I definitely think he is somebody who could be on this team and be an impactful player. And he's had a really good camp so far, too.
Those are big names to look for. And then I'm really excited to watch Jaden Hicks and Kamal Hayden.
Jamal Hicks has been so Jaden Hicks. God bless. Jaden has been really good.
He's been really good in camp.
Yeah.
Really good. For a rookie and everything they're throwing at him. Like,
I'm kind of at the point to where I'm gonna stop saying they're really good until I see them on Saturday. Because everybody can look
basically
great.
We're really excited for Saturday.
Everybody can look great at training camp, but did you just let this receiver cook your ass in the secondary? Is a different story. And I will say, our receivers have been cooking these corners because they are really good. But that's how you just kind of
everyone but Trent.
Yeah, no.
Trent's or like Joshua. The one keeping up. Yeah.
Or Joshua. Trent had his first pick in training camp on Sunday. So, yay. Yeah. I'm very happy about that. I was like, yay, his first career. Well, training camp pick.
Right.
You owe us two, Trent. You now
we need
owe
you
us
to, two. Yeah, we need you to take that to the regular season. But
you owe us two. So, we are playing the Jacksonville Jaguars this week. I am not sure who is playing for them. I'm sure we might see Trevor Lawrence for like a second.
Yeah,
probably, it's a home game for them. So, yeah, we're definitely going to see their first team for a second because it's a home game. And
yeah,
got to excite the crowd and all that good stuff.
Right.
So
Trevor's dealt with his share of injuries. They have a lot of new offensive weapons. They added Gabe Davis. They added Brian Thomas Jr. in the draft, who's supposed to be really good. They lost Calvin Ridley to the Titans. So they're just going to have kind of a new offense, but I'm excited to see how they do as well. Yeah, I think there's just a lot of guys. I'm excited to see how, like, Remigio, Montrell Washington, Justin Ross. I'm excited to see how those guys do in the receiver room.
Mac Jones.
Oh, yeah,
Mac Jones versus Carson Wentz, baby. It's going to be so good. It's going to be so good.
Hey, that's like actually not a bad game. That's like kind of funny.
Oh, I plan on watching every second of this game.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I will say I'm also – it's always great when you go against Dougie P. So I can't wait to see what he does against the Chiefs. Because we usually play each other very good. If you remember last season when we played them, was that last year we went to Germany?
It wasn't them.
No, last year?
No, we played them at home. We played them in their home last year.
Can't remember. I thought we played them in Dolphins. Well, we played them last season and it was a pretty good game. So, yeah, another Florida
game. We played them week two last year in Jacksonville and it was a close game.
It was a good game. They definitely almost had our number. So, it was
a good game. They're a good team. So, they have a good defense.
And Doug Peterson under the Andy Reid tree. So, he's always going to be able to bring something that's going to catch us off guard or anything of that nature.
I think this is like a perfect week.
Absolutely.
Week one preseason game.
I agree. I can't wait.
Who is one person you're looking to surprise you in this game?
In this preseason game?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be Kingsley. Yeah. Okay. I think he's going to, from what I've seen, he's been really good. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to carry over into game day play.
Good.
So he's already impressed me because Y.A. Morris, he took his job. Just gonna say that. Yeah. So I think that this is gonna translate very well for him. And I think that everybody's gonna have a lot of things to take away that they want to be better at all for next week. Mm-hmm. But I would definitely say offense, probably Kingsley, and then I would say defense, Brian Cook. I want to see Brian Cook back healthy on the field to see what that looks like, because I'm nervous about our safeties. So
I am too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for me on offense, it's tough. I'm excited to see all the rookie O-lines. We have a lot of them. We have Norzad also and Hansen. I'm excited to see what they do, but receiver-wise, I'm actually kind of expecting Montrell Washington to kind of stand out and have a moment.
Montrell's been good. He's had a really good game so far. How does it translate on game day? Because he's had a good camp.
I think he could be a surprise. And then for defense, my surprise, I think my standout actually is going to be Jaden Hicks as the rookie. I think he's going to be one of our biggest standouts. Yeah.
He's been good.
And I think that Swayze Bozeman guy, I'm – watch out for him. I think he's going to be good. So those are my.
What number is he wearing? Because I don't know who he is.
Number.
I'm like, I have no clue who this guy is. I should have kept my book that they gave me at training camp, because you know all the guys. So many guys wear the same number.
I know.
So many guys wear the same number, and I'm like, shoot, who is that 24? Who is that 38? Who is that?
He is 55. 55.
Okay. So
look out for that.
No, take 55 off. No, I'm kidding.
Frank Clark, we miss you.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway, yeah.
So we have lots to look forward to.
Yeah.
the last thing I'm excited about, because I'm hungry and would love to eat dinner. I'm really excited to watch the kickoff rules or the punt return kickoff.
Yeah,
and I'm really excited to watch all the teams do it, because everybody is going to do it differently. And I want to see like what team is doing it almost
the best. Yeah.
And I feel like it's probably us, but I still want to see how He's other good. Teams are doing it. Like, I guarantee you every team has somebody. Can you imagine how many people are going to be watching the Chiefs game this weekend?
Yeah.
Mainly because they want to see how we do it so they can take it back to their training camp next week.
Absolutely,
and practice.
Yeah.
So I cannot, I want to watch everybody and see like how they adjust and get ready and used to this new rule thing.
Yeah. No, it's going to be really interesting. I'm very excited.
I will be looking out for that. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's all I got.
It's a lot to look forward to.
That is all I got.
I think same.
Let's get into the sponsor.
Until we watch this freaking preseason game.
You got a can?
Oh, yeah. I don't. No.
Shout out to Ken Seltzer, the sponsor. Providing two delicious drinks. Yeah. Pineapple peach?
Pineapple lemon. No. Pink lemonade. And then peach pineapple?
I think it's peach pineapple. Yeah. Okay, I was like, that's where I was stuck at. Two Lord. Delicious beverages. Yeah, I'm so addicted to
been
the
a minute.
Other one now. I'm so addicted to the red one.
Yeah,
I can't even get the yellow one anymore.
They're both
made of all 100% fruit. No artificial sugars. You can purchase it in Kansas City at multiple locations all around Kansas City. My favorite place to get it when I get it is Border Brewery down in the Crossroads. They just stocked up so many there. Can't wait to go meet with them next week. Try some new things. Yeah. Bring it back to the podcast for y'all. But yeah, we will be having giveaways once we get closer to season starting to get you guys ready for your tailgates.
Yeah.
Can't wait. We're having a big tailgate ourselves and can't wait to get out there. And we definitely will have us some Ken Seltzer because it's going to be 100 degrees at that home opener. God bless.
We don't know yet, but
it's gonna be 90.
Promising.
As long as I'm fine with 90, as long as it's not raining.
Listen, what if we get a day like today where it's like 70 degrees?
I would be so happy as long as it's not raining.
Yeah,
I don't care. I'm like, I don't care what it is. So yeah,
we'll see.
Love that. We will not see you next Tuesday.
I'm going to be in Mexico.
We'll see you next Wednesday.
I'm also trying to figure out how to freaking watch this preseason game from Mexico. So we'll see how that goes. I'll watch it when I get home.
We will see you either next Wednesday or Thursday. Not 100% sure on what that date will be. But we will be recapping what this game looked like. How people looked. If they looked good. If they looked bad. We will have all of that. Might have some Brandon Ayuk news. Who knows?
Yes, another random NFL news. You never know what's going to happen.
I'm sure there will be.
I'm 1,000%
positive that there will be some more
random
news. There's
going to be injuries. There's going to be stuff we don't want to hear. There's going to be all kinds of stuff.
It's going to be a fight. It's going to be everything. So excited, and we cannot wait to see you next week. I know it says Tuesday. Please make sure that if you have not, you've subscribed to us on YouTube. We are growing that channel at a rapid rate, and it is so cool to see. So we are growing. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel if you have not yet. Make sure you are following us on Twitter, on Instagram, on Apple, on Spotify. Our listens have been rolling on Spotify and Apple, too. It's like y'all actually listen to us outside of here, and that is amazing.
Live. You can listen there.
Thank y'all for coming out and hanging with us every single week. We are back now every week talking Chiefs football and just NFL. So, again, if you have not, make sure you're following Lexi at Lexi Osborne, Jody at It's Jody Newsome, Kingdom Queens at The Kingdoms S Queens S.
Kingdoms.
And we'll see y'all next week.
Yeah. Bye, y'all. Love y'all.
Bye, you lovely people.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save.